Thanks for listening to Benefit from the Bible. We believe the Bible is God's Word for our temporal and eternal benefit. God bless your listening. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, it's the season of Christmas, so we are celebrating the birthday of our Lord Jesus Christ, yet we also know what happened in his life. We know about his victory on Calvary. We know about his resurrection from the dead. We know about his ascension into heaven. And hopefully we know from our celebration here of the ascension that even now our Lord Jesus Christ is ruling and reigning over all things, over heaven and over earth. Today, we do focus on the first six verses of the book of Revelation. Those six verses include the source of the information in that book of the Bible. They include the importance of us taking heed to what's in that book. They also include a Trinitarian greeting, which is definitely unique. And they also include a focus on our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Christ of Christmas. So really, it's that last part that makes it a good reading for this season of Christmas as we think about the ending. So we will get to that here eventually. First of all, we come to the beginning of Revelation, and we see how this information came from God to us. Notice what the Bible says. The revelation, in other words, the making things known of Jesus Christ, which God the Father gave him, that is, to Jesus, to show to his servants. Literally, we're talking about his slaves, like the Apostle John, the things that must soon take place. He, that is Jesus, made it known by sending his angel to his servant John. We're talking here about the Apostle John, not about John the Baptizer. So his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. Isn't that kind of a shocking thing that John and those others who were followers of Jesus, they are referred to as slaves? And a slave is someone who has no rights of his own, but the slave is always looking to the master for instructions. Doesn't that fit well when we think about us as believers being members of the one body of Christ, and Christ is the head of that body, and he is guiding us, he is telling us, he is moving us. Like it says there in Acts chapter 17, in him we live and move and have our being. Boy, that's what it means to be in Christ. Did you catch the order as I read down through there as to how the things came from God to us? If you look at it carefully, it says the information passed from God the Father to Jesus, to his angel, to the Apostle John, to the written words of Scripture, and finally then to us. The point of that is that God the Father, he is the source. So in a sense, it doesn't matter how many hands had passed through. God wants us to know that not only the book of Revelation, but the entire Bible, that is coming from God our Father, and we can rely upon what it says. In the second part here, God wants us to know what the Bible says, and he wants us to do it. In verse 3 it says, "Blessed is the one reading and the one hearing the words of this prophecy and keeping what has been written in it, for the time is near." Let's break it down here. It talks about the one reading. So I think that's talking about people who are pastors, leaders, teachers. They're the ones who are reading the scriptures in the public worship setting. So all those kinds of people, they should be sharing or reading the word of God to others. That is a good and right and proper thing. And then it talks about the one hearing. So that would include all who gather for various worship services. Those are the ones who are hearing. And I think all such people should faithfully gather, and they should also very carefully hear. I think those are realities that are embedded into the text. God's not saying this in a light way. He wants us to know that it's important for me to make sure I'm sharing the Word of God in a proper way. It's important for all of you to faithfully gather and to carefully listen. And then notice in letter C there, both for those who are reading and those who are hearing, they are to continue keeping the Word of God. He's indicating here that both those who are reading and those who are hearing, this keeping is important. I think the keeping of the Word of God, that's for everyone who has Jesus Christ as Savior. I did the series back 4 years ago on the book of Revelation, so I grabbed my copy of Dr. Becker's commentary, and this is what he wrote about this particular section. John promises a blessing to the one who reads the message, in other words, to the pastor, and to those who hear and keep it. This promise echoes the words of Jesus. Over in Luke 11, Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." So he goes on to write, in the original text, the participles, those hearing and those keeping, are preceded by a single article which indicates that the blessing belongs only to those who keep as well as hear the words. And then finally he says, all of these claims are characteristic of God's word. In other words, we find these kinds of things all over the place in the Bible. It's not like something unusual here in Revelation chapter 1. These are common things in the Bible. So we could ask ourselves then, why are reading, hearing, and keeping important? Why are those things important? Reading the scriptures, hearing the scriptures, keeping the scriptures, God told us, because the time is near. And what time is that? That's talking about the time of the end of the world is near. So because of that, God wants us to be very serious about these things. And then we see here a Trinitarian greeting. Notice in verse 4 it says, John to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come. That is a reference here to God the Father. And then it goes on and says, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne. That is a reference to God the Holy Spirit. And then it says, and from Jesus Christ, obviously a reference to God the Son. And then we come to the Christmas part. So let's get to Christmas a little bit. So we focus here on Jesus as the text continues, and it calls him the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him, that is to Jesus, who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So even though it's Christmas time, and even though we might be thinking of Jesus in this kind of a format, so we're already way beyond him as we come to this text. So no longer is he in the manger. Yes, he was born, he lived, he died, but now there is something so much bigger and so much greater that he is and that he is doing. And God wants us to know these things. He wants us to rejoice in these things. Sometimes it's hard to understand how God could put on human flesh, and yet truly he is the almighty Son of God who is now ruling and reigning over all things, and he's doing that for our good. He's doing it for the good of the church. So Jesus Christ, he is the faithful witness. So during his ministry, he completely told God's truth. He told it when he had a friendly group of people to talk to like you guys today. And he also told it when he had a very hostile group that wanted to seize him and kill him. He still told the truth. And then he's the firstborn of the dead. So Jesus is the first fruits of those who have died. But God wants us to know that for every one of us, and for our loved ones too, that have gone before us, God wants us to know that death is not the end. Physical death is not the end. But one day, when Christ comes, everyone is going to be raised to life. It's interesting that on the very day when Jesus rose, that was on the festival of first fruits. Is that just a coincidence? I don't think so by any means. God had that all worked out, that the one who is the firstborn from the dead would rise on the very day of the festival of first fruits. God is in control of everything. Jesus Christ is also the ruler of the kings of the earth. So to these various kings in the world, we can think about our own president, we can think about the president in Russia and Saudi Arabia and all these powerful, wealthy, important people, and they kind of think that they're in charge. But God wants us to know that that is not true. We don't have to fear powerful people who seem to be against us, but rather we can know that Jesus Christ is up here. He has all the power. He is God in the flesh. He is in control, and we can rest in peace. We can know that our lives are in his hands. Also, too, he is the one who loves us. I think for myself, I need to figure out a little bit better way to show love for people. I don't think we'll ever quite figure that out completely until we are with God forever. But Jesus had it all figured out, though, and he knew that love is sacrificial love. So he knew that love was not doing what was good for him. He knew that love was doing what was best for others. So that sacrificial love, that drove him to come down as the Christ of Christmas. That drove him to live and never fall into sin. That drove him to go all the way to the cross. And when they threw him down on that cross, he was willing to extend out his arms and to be nailed to that cross. And he was willing to stay on that cross for the 6 hours that he was on that cross. And he was willing to take the sins of the entire world upon himself. And he was willing to be punished for all those sins. How did he do all of that? It's all about sacrificial love. If we could somehow ask Jesus and say, with all that stuff, Jesus, did you want to do that for yourself? He'd probably say, no. I would rather have stayed in the glory of heaven. I would have rather not come down and gone through all these miserable things in this sinful world and be so mistreated at the end of my life and have to take all your filthy sins upon myself and take all that wrath of God upon myself. Why would he want to do any of that? That wasn't any good for him. But he did it for us. That's how much he loved us. God wants us to look at other people and say, what do they need? How can I sacrifice in order to help them according to their needs? That's what he did for us. We are so blessed to have someone love us so much. And then he is the one who has freed us from our sins by his blood. So think about it. The entire human race had brought a death sentence upon itself. And there was only one remedy, if you will, only one antidote. In other words, without the remedy, without the antidote, everyone is going to eternal punishment. So the only remedy, the only antidote is the blood of Jesus, the holy, precious blood of Jesus. Only that blood could save us. Only that blood could wash us clean. But Jesus, aware of that, was willing to shed it, was willing to give it, because he wanted us to be clean. He wants us to be with him forever and ever. And then finally, here in letter F, Jesus is also the one who made us a kingdom of priests. That's kind of an unusual thing. We haven't talked a lot about the priesthood of all believers here at Bethlehem. Maybe we need to do a little series on that. But because of the work that Jesus has done, and because of the relationship that God has given us with him, we are members of God's kingdom. So that means now that not only am I a priest in a sense, but you guys are also priests as well. So what does that mean? Think about the Old Testament What did the priest do? The priest was in between the people and God. So the priest would intercede for the people. So when the people had needs, now the priest, he's going to God in prayer on behalf of the people. So what God wants us to do is identify all the needy people that we can think of, whether they have spiritual needs, physical needs, relational needs, whatever it might be, identify them, make a list, and then be the priest by taking all those people and all their needs to God in prayer. What else did the priest do? The priest is the one who brought the word of God to the people. We share the word of God with them so that God might use that word in their lives to bring them to faith in Christ, to make them a priest like us so they can serve like we are. Finally, as we will soon conclude 2015 and begin 2016, we do so with peace, knowing that our sins are forgiven in Christ. We do so with confidence, knowing that Jesus Christ is reigning over all things for the good of the church, and we do so with purpose that we might function as priests to pray to God on behalf of others and also to take every opportunity we can to share God's word with others so that they might be blessed forever too. And all God's people said, Amen.
Thanks for listening. If you are searching for a church, attend with us at Bethlehem. We are located at 7500 State Road in Parma. This is our Sunday schedule, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45. For many other ways to benefit from the Bible, visit our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.